Welcome to This is Whole Life, a podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida.
Join me, Ken Wetmore, lead pastor, and Melanie Bachman, our worship pastor, along with our communication team, Randy and Lucas. Take a look back, a look deeper, and a peek into the week ahead.
Here we explore meaningful conversations about spirituality, community, and living with purpose.
We don't have all the answers, but we are walking the journey together.
Wherever you're listening from, you're wanted here.
This is Whole Life.
Hey everyone, it's episode 501 of Greater Things. No, of This is Whole Life. Welcome aboard the show where we dig deeper into each message each week and we learn to love God in a deeper and more meaningful way together. 2026 at Whole Life, we have moved on from overflow into greater things. We're looking to the past for the last 100 years and into the future of what lies ahead for Whole Life, hence the greater things. You know what? The conversation only lacks one thing, that's you. So whether you attend online, maybe you are here locally, you can text from the front row if you'd like, 407-965-1607, or email podcast at wholelife.church. Doesn't matter, but if you're part of our online family or you're here in person, we will take all comments, questions, and the like. We want to hear from you, and it is so much more fun when you do. So as always, you already know who's part of the show with our new intro. Thank you for your feedback that you enjoyed that. I appreciate it. But as always, Melanie, Ken, Lucas, we are all here today, which, I mean, it's been a while since someone's been out, so feels good to kind of be back in the groove. All right, this week it was Greater Things and the message was mission. That was from this past week, January 10th. And you can also go to our companion podcast, Speaking of Grace. Swipe up in today's show notes or the Slack channel and it's episode 294. You'll find that there. All right, today we're going to do something cool and fun because didn't feel like doing them all myself. So here we go. I'm going to have everybody pick one. We have overflow, some people that wanted those vector battery banks. We've got some questions and we have some comments. So like a magician in a deck of cards, there are 2, 4, 5 pieces of paper. So Ken?
Oh, no. I feel like ladies go first.
Oh, Melanie?
Oh, is that me? Okay, fine.
I mean,
got it. Lucas?
Yes.
Pick one. Ken?
I'll take 2.
You take 2. I'll take this one then. Ooh, look at you. You picked the 2 on, one on top and one on bottom. He's a magician himself.
There it is. I'm showing off those skills that nobody can see yet.
Okay. So, as you know, as episode 500 came up, and if you're part of the Slack channel, you've seen the cool little vector battery banks to charge your phone on the go that we're giving away and celebrating episode 500. And we asked for your overflow feedback. So, if you have an overflow, why don't you go first? I think I have an overflow. Who else has one?
I have an overflow one.
Okay. Well, then let's start off. Let's get the overflows out and then we'll hit the questions and then we'll finish with the comment.
So should I read it in my imaginary voice of this person or just...
Do you know this person?
It says it's from Rod.
Oh, do your best, Rod.
Oh, no, I don't want to do... I was going to do something completely different.
Yeah, go for it.
So okay. I don't know. Now I'm feeling a little bashful about it.
Okay.
I'll just do it with my Southern accent. How about that?
So you're normal to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Except a little...
A little more?
A little bit more, maybe.
Okay.
Hey there, Randy. I was thinking about your 2020 Overflow Challenge just this morning. I went back to see which episode during which it was announced and concluded that the time had passed to send you an email about it. Thanks for your prodding in the Slack channel. Seriously, I've been blessed beyond all expectations during 2025 in many ways. I can surely attest that one of my greatest Overflow events was participating in the online community, The Table. Because I travel so much of the year, I miss fellowship. The Table keeps me in touch with my church family. It provides me with social interaction with others who share my love for Jesus, and it provides me with an opportunity to minister to others and to contribute service to my church family. And I always feel like I am the one who receives an overflow of the blessing. Rod. Thank you, Rod.
Now, see, you don't have to be here every week, although he is here on occasion.
Does that sound like Rod to you?
Not even kind of.
No? All right. I tried.
It kind of sounded like an FM station that you're driving like at the edge of one and you pick up another and it kind of goes back and forth. Like, which one was it? But it was good.
That's awesome.
So it just proves that no matter where you are and when you are, you can be a part of Whole Life.
And you can also win a battery pack.
That's it.
Yeah.
There you go. Look at that.
All right. I got the next overflow. This is from Julie. And Julie said, this year I have seen God's love and grace overflow through the Whole Life Church, embracing us as we begin to fellowship here. This church truly oozes God's love, acceptance, and purpose, and I'm grateful to be a part of this special place. Also, I've seen God's goodness overflow in the lives of my children. Our first ministry is to our family to teach and reach them with the love of Jesus. Now that they are adult children living out a passion and dedication to God, my heart overflows with His goodness and graciousness. I've also learned to understand God's patience and unconditional love as I watch our children live their own lives no longer under our direction. I'm excited to see the greater things this next year will bring. Thank you, Julie. I saw Julie in the hall and she's like, is it too late? You said we could still put one in. I'm like, put it in and we'll have the little prize, but just put it in because that's what I really want. I just want to hear what you got to say. So thank you, Julie. All right. Who's got a comment or a question?
I got a comment.
All right. Go for the comment.
Just listen to the podcast. And I hear now that we're going to do a video on YouTube available on Friday night. That's amazing. But there was supposed to be a Friday night story time that I was looking forward to. Mm. That happened once and has yet to happen again. Anonymous stories.
Anonymous stories. Well, Mr. Anonymous,
Anonymous. We don't know.
There's no Mr. or Mrs. attached to that. It's just Anonymous. We had a conversation on Saturday. And so I invited Anonymous to become an author of short stories. And or if you know any authors that would like to write some, you know, good bedtime stories, we'll take any and all that come our way and read them.
Wow. That's quite a promise.
To what? That I say amen. To that I say all right.
Well, I know there's some writers out there. I know some people that have talked to me about, you know, doing some script writing and doing some things like that. Maybe you can pull together a couple of short stories or, I don't know, have AI do it. Take your best idea, throw it into AI, see what we get. And if it's decent, you know, maybe we can read it.
I don't know, Randy, you're freaking me out a little bit. We've got new theme music. We've got a new intro. Now we're going to have bedtime stories with Anonymous.
Well, maybe Anonymous is our bedtime story reader.
I thought I was maybe a person of the times that could just be progressive and go with the flow and be adaptable, but I don't know.
If they write them, I'm willing to read them.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're... All right. Who's got, what do we got left? We got a question, two questions left.
Yeah, I have a question.
Melanie, you have a question?
I do have a question.
All right, roll. We'll let Ken wrap it up.
All right. This is also from Julie. Julie says, you said in your sermon that we are a church without walls, loving people into whole life with God. You mentioned how Ephesians 2:14 tells us that Jesus destroyed the walls that separate us and that we must continue tearing down those walls by living out the gospel. How can we clarify that this wall refers to relational and social barriers between people rather than the ceremonial law itself, since some interpret this verse as meaning the law was abolished? Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're correct. There are some that interpret it that way, but was it the law that was keeping them from each other? Or, well, let me just put it this way. If the law was truly what was keeping them from away from each other, Jews and Gentiles, then Jesus would not have spent any time with Gentiles, and he did. So I think that for me, the lesson there and what I see in that text, and again, agreeing that we can all read texts, sometimes come to different conclusions on them. But when I see that, I think it's a very relational text. I mean, it has a lot to do with the walls that we put up between ourselves and each other. And sometimes those walls involve rules and laws.
Okay.
And we allow those sort of things to get in the way of the relationship. And I'm glad that Jesus didn't. I'm glad that he came to a world full of sinners and lived among us and was with us and didn't let our sins and failures get in the way of him having a relationship with us.
I like it.
So that's what I got. I don't know if anybody else wants to add on to that.
Melanie?
I defer to Ken.
All right. Ken's got our last question.
All right. Here we go. This one says, I have a question from last Sabbath sermon on your mission statement. I'd like to remain anonymous. Here's my question. In your sermon, you said that this church is for everyone. How can the church be a safe place if everyone is allowed, welcomed, wanted here? For instance, an abuse survivor rarely feels safe when they see their abuser is supported, believed, and accepted over them, a survivor. Abusers tend to be different people at church when they are alone with the victims. Many survivors have told me that they usually leave church because they are not supported or believed, and the church sides with the abuser or takes the neutral stance, which is just siding with the abuser, because they can't believe the abuser would do such abusive things that the survivor says happened or won't hold them accountable. So the survivors end up leaving the church, usually losing their support system, while the abuser gets to stay in the church with the support of their church family. So how does your church make it and keep it a safe place for survivors? Great question, and a fair question. And can I just also admit it's not an easy question to answer? Thanks for a really sensitive and heartfelt question, and a real one that churches really wrestle with. It is a difficult question that you've asked. And I really want to start off by, number one, saying I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, abuse is not okay. It's just not. In no circumstance is it okay. And we don't want at Whole Life to be supporting the abuse of anybody. Because I have friends who have been through what you're describing, I hear the pain and the hurt in that question. And I want you to know that while everybody is wanted here at Whole Life, there has to be some parameters around what that wanted looks like. In an abusive situation, wanted doesn't mean that the best thing for you to do is to be here in person. It might mean that you need to watch online. It may mean that we need to find some other solutions. But what I want you to know is that you're asking questions that are really complex. And to answer it here on this, beyond what I'm saying right now, gets into some really complex things. But what I want to be 100% clear is we are not okay with abusive situations. And we want to be supportive of people who have been victims in these situations. And we don't want those victims to lose their church family because they definitely are in need of support. And you are right. I have seen it happen before. So just because somebody is wanted doesn't mean that always it's the best thing for them to be in person or for that. And that's one of those things as a church staff we're going to take very seriously. And if you are aware of a situation or something that we need to be aware of, please let us know. We deeply care about this and deeply care about you. And thank you for asking a really profound and important question that really does matter a lot.
It's well said. Thank you. So, Lucas, we had one more that from the chat. Let's just get the questions.
Yeah, we have one. Ken answered, though, after first you? Service, but maybe he wants to add something more. Why do specific walls give examples that we need to break down as a congregation to better reflect Christ's love in our church and community?
Yeah, I did answer that. Melanie, you want to jump in on that at all?
I think that's a difficult question because I don't think that we've mastered the love part. I think that there is so much more that we need to do in terms of learning how to love and looking what that and determining what that love looks like in action. I think it's a conversation we need to continue to have. And I think that when we encounter certain walls, then they need to be dealt with at that time. You know, I think if we recognize walls, then we can begin dismantling them. But I think we have to name them.
And it takes time to dismantle them. It takes time to get people organized, get the message out. You know, someone I had a conversation with 2 weeks ago, they had a special needs child. You know, they're trying to balance life and everything. And I was like, well, you know, we have a support group for parents with kids with special needs. And then, you know, Buddy Break, which is coming up, I think in February, where it's a respite program for kids with siblings with special needs, you know, mom and dad or mom or dad or whatever the case may be, can drop the kids, the special needs child and siblings off for a 3-hour break. Go do some shopping, go hang out in the hammock somewhere with your AirPods on, like whatever your thing is, whatever you need to do. And it brought tears to their eyes. They're like, really? This is a thing? And I'm like, it is a thing. I promise it is. And it's coming. So I think it comes from everybody's life, what the walls are that they find that are bringing them the most challenges. And so I think it's a little bit different for everyone. But I think in that same case, if you know what the walls are, like you said, if we can identify them, then we have an idea of, you know, what those challenges are and what we need to address. And if you don't feel like we have something here, I mean, I went to talk to Ken a while back and said, man, we could really use some some kind of a support group for special needs, and then No Barriers got started, and it's been kind of moved into Justice Ministries. So it's all grassroots, everyone finding their spot to pitch in, and there's a lot of cool things that are upcoming with that, but it's because someone found a need. So another one of those, if you see a need, holler.
I think it's also fair to say that there's inside of the wall and there's an outside of the wall.
Yeah.
And you could be on either side of it.
Mm.
And so it's just as we want to tear down walls that keep people from going in. I think Ken kind of alluded to this in his sermon. We need to tear down the walls that keep us from going out. And yeah. There's nothing that's stopping us from going out and addressing the things in our world that we feel are not in harmony with God's vision for humanity.
Mm. Very good.
Is there one more question?
Nope.
There should be.
Was there?
Did we have? Because I know we teased one in second service.
Was it?
There we go. I actually have it.
Oh, there you go.
So this is from Anonymous. If being a church without walls means being actively involved in what is happening in our world, does that mean we need to be bold in speaking into the affairs of our country when we see people are being harmed? How can we do better than the Christian church, including the SDA church, did in Nazi Germany?
So the short answer to a really good question that probably is worth a lot of discussion is yes, it means we do need to be active in it. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church and other Christian denominations have fallen short in this area in the past in some situations. But there are other situations where the Christian church hasn't fallen short. For instance, the early Seventh-day Adventist Church were abolitionists. They were against slavery, and they spoke out very loudly against that in the society they lived in. And so for those who want to say that, well, as Christians, we need to not be speaking into what's happening in the world around us, that's not the historical context of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and really it isn't the historical context of Christianity in general. Christianity has spoken into a lot of social situations and what's happening in the world. And so, yes, I think we have a responsibility to speak up. Everybody has to decide where that is, where the lines are for them, and it's not an easy thing to do, but I think that it was something we have to prayerfully think about. I know it's something that I spent a lot of time thinking about and praying about, and I'm sure that nobody gets it perfect. I know I don't, but it is something that I definitely think about and pray about and have discussions with people that I really respect a lot in various communities to say, hey, how do you think I should handle this? What's the right way to do things? So, yeah, absolutely. I think we have a responsibility to speak up. And I think that one of the things we have to recognize is that just because we speak up doesn't mean we're necessarily going to change things. We'd like to change things, but I think that even if we're not able to change things, our voice matters, and it matters to be heard and to say, hey, no, this is not okay. It's not right. So great question. Thanks for the opportunity to answer it.
So I know we're running, Ken, we got to get you out of here fairly quickly, but do you have a good resource, or Melanie, maybe you do as well, for John Wesley, like a book about maybe his life, his character? Because
Ken has a good resource.
Does he?
He's reading it now.
Yeah. John Wesley's journal. John Wesley actually went through his journals and—
Oh, is that a book?
Yeah. Yeah, it's selectively—
I missed that. I thought you were okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
He went through and selectively picked things out of his journal and then created a book out of that. And then since then, people have gone through and done some editing. But there is a book called John Wesley's Journal. And I think I'm listening to it on Hoopla right now, I think.
Hoopla?
Yeah, Hoopla, if you're not familiar with that.
It's a great app.
Great app.
Hoopla.
Yeah, so for those of you who—
I'll put a link in there.
Yeah, for those of you who like listening to audiobooks, it's one of the ways I'm able to find time to read the amount I want to be reading. There's a lot of great resources out there. Audible is one that you get to pay for. That's one. But Hoopla and Libby are two different apps that most public libraries offer with your library card. So if you have a library card, you get those apps. They kind of function like an audio library for the libraries. The difference is that Libby is kind of like your traditional library. A traditional library will have 3 or 4 copies of a book. When you go in, if all 3 or 4 copies are out, you wait till it comes back and you get it. That's how Libby kind of works on an audio version. They have 2 or 3 copies and gotcha. They get checked out.
Libby?
Libby. The way that Hoopla works is a little bit different in that they actually sell to a library a certain number of listens or downloads per day, so to speak. And cool. So if a library had 100 downloads a day, all 100 people could borrow the same book. Okay. And once all 100 downloads are done, then there's no more for that day and it resets the next day. So for me, like I've discovered that usually if I can get a book before 10 or 11 a.m. With the library that I'm with, Seminole County, usually I can, if Libby has it or if Hoopla has it, I can usually get it if I'm getting a book before that time. So
both anyway, are audio?
Yeah, both
can
are.
You can get readable?
Electronic versions of those too. So
I'm
not
an audio book listener. I like podcasts, but I don't like book reading. I don't know why. But okay. Yep. You get both. Okay, we'll put the link in the show notes and in the Slack channel today then. That sounds good. All right. For everyone that is wanting to know more about John Wesley, this sounds like a good resource. And I'll put the Hoopla, the Libby, and what was the other one? Oh, Audible. Mm-hmm. I'll put those links in there. I'm going to have to give this a try. I just found my library card. I kid you not. I took Emily to the library and I was like, oh, I've got my library card. They'll be able to find it. Well, they won't do that. They're just like, you have one, but do you know what? I forget what question they asked me. I'm like, I have no idea.
Your security question that you answered 20 years ago.
I'm like, so Emily has like 12 books she wants to check out and she's at the counter and we're just sitting there and she's like, she's looking at me like, Daddy. And I'm like,
what's your first dog's middle name?
I could probably answer it since I never had a dog. I'd be like, nobody. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, so we end up leaving. She gets no books and I get the dirty look and all the way home. And so I finally found my library card. So I'm going to have to check this out because this is interesting because I
literally and figuratively, I heard that. That was nice.
I see where you're going.
That's nice. Because I am a sucker for just an old fashioned book. If it's a book I really want.
Yeah.
So this might be just something that maybe I don't want the whole book, but it could be something I could peruse. And
well, there's joy in turning pages and smelling ink and just, you know, the feel of holding a book in your hands. But you know what? Listening to books on tape is a great way to multitask because when I'm driving or doing laundry or something like that, there's always, or painting, you know.
See, I can pay attention. Maybe I could. I probably need to give it another try. Can you annotate or anything in those apps?
I think there are places where you can bookmark. I think there's a little bookmark button that you can push.
Then you can put stuff in there. Like, but you probably have to own that copy.
I don't know the answer to that. That's a good question.
I have to look because I have Apple Books and I do have a fair amount of titles in that one as well. So one of the things that I found interesting was when Ken was mentioning about the word go, like go and take this news and the disciples, Ken said something to the effect of, I didn't write it word for word, but they're thinking to themselves, oh yeah, there's Jews all over the place that's going to need to know this. And like their idea of what the task was in front of them, it really made me laugh out loud. Yeah. They're just like, so what do you guys want to do after lunch, after we go talk to those guys? What do you guys want to do? You want to go bowling or like, what should we do? We should do some team building, don't you think? That just made me laugh. And then you start to think, that obviously it was pretty easy to misunderstand. And then I'm wondering, I'm not always the sharpest knife in the drawer. What am I misunderstanding? And is that why we made a change in the mission statement? Like we wanted to make sure people were not, it wasn't easy to misunderstand what we were thinking or what we were wanting to do. Loving people into a whole life with God.
Yeah. There are various groups that discuss this, but I think one of the things the various groups discussed with was that Church Without Walls vision statement that we've had for over 15 or so years has really become a part of our mission. It really is an expression of who we are and what we believe in at Whole Life to be that Church Without Walls. So it was really important for that to make itself its way into our mission statement. And then the other aspect of it is I think that when we were talking about our previous mission statement said loving people into friendship with God.
Lifelong friendship.
Lifelong friendship with God. Yeah. With God. Yep. And we like that. And I think we also wanted to deepen it a little bit. I think that there is, we wanted it to include this idea that your relationship, because, you know, I can be friends with you, Randy. I can be friends with Melanie. I can be friends with Lucas. And those friendships all look different. And I can be friends with my wife, Rochelle. And that friendship looks different too. And my point is that when we had that language, we thought, let's go ahead and really kind of expand it out to really kind of include what Whole Life is and make that really a part of who we are, that it's I hope, a little bit more descriptive. And that's what the group was thinking, the various groups as they were thinking about this and talking about it, was how do we make this broaden it and deepen it and maybe even make it a little bit more obvious what we mean. So yeah, that was the thought behind it.
And that in the salt, where God's got to sprinkle us in a little bit. I was thinking about that and the different, like, what does salt look like for everybody? Because I think your gifts are different, just like all of the relationships you just talked about. You can be friends with everyone, but for each of those to flourish and to be a relationship that you really want and you want to keep and you want to make it flourish, it requires a little bit of something different. And I think with God, at least for me, man, a lot of times the salt sometimes gets in the cuts a little bit, and it makes it uncomfortable, where it's like, oh, well, you should talk to people, right? Because Randy, you talk to anybody, so you should just go, you should go talk. And it made me think, as soon as Ken said, geez, Ken, I don't want to be that guy that's out there on the street with the signs or with the, hey, you know. And I always think to, if you've ever been to Bike Week in Daytona, there are people, there's a handful, and they carry the longest crosses you've ever seen in your life with wheels on the back. And it's like, they put a different sign, Jesus saves, Jesus loves you, and different things. And while I don't disagree with the sentiment, I don't disagree with, you know, if that's your thing to be out there and doing it, more power to you. But that's just like, that's not me. And that's the first thing that I think of. How are other ways? And I really appreciated Ken saying this, that you have to go out and live your life with the truth and the love of God so that people see it and it makes a difference. Because I don't want to be that other person, because it's just it's cringy for me, even though I don't think that they're doing anything wrong, and more power to them. But
you know what? That works. For some people, carrying that cross starts a conversation, it gets something going. And my thing is, like, as long as your life is consistent with what you're wearing on your clothing and what you're carrying behind you there with the cross or whatever, I've got no problem with that. The same way that I have friends that like they enjoy going door to door, knocking on doors. Ooh. and handing out Christian literature. That's not my preferred way of doing it, but they enjoy it. That's their thing. And
you
so
did that, though, did you?
Was that your job? For a very short period of time. Yes, I did it for a summer, right. And it was excruciating for me. And again, for me, not my chosen method.
Yeah.
Not the way that I like to do it. But I've also seen some really powerful things happen from people who have done that. And so I think that one of the things we have to be a little bit careful about is saying, oh, that's not the right way to do it, or you shouldn't be doing that. If it's authentic to you, by all means, if it's authentic and respectful and your life is living the great commandment of loving God and loving people, then good. And I just, for me, it's the same thing as I'd like respect on the side of things, that just because a certain way of doing things isn't my way, because I'm with you, Randy. I'm not the guy that wants to carry the cross behind my motorcycle. Firstly, I don't want to drive a motorcycle, but whatever. I'm not the guy that wants to go knocking on doors door to door. But I love to talk to people about Jesus when they give me the open door
it. Yeah,
if you give me an open door, I will talk to you all day about Jesus. But I am not the guy on the plane that's like, hey, do you know Jesus? you know, my son, I think I might have told this story before. He was flying back on a flight, and somebody did that. They said, hey, do you know Jesus? And he said, yep, I do. And they didn't let it. They were like, well, do you know my Jesus? And Eric was like, well,
is there more than one?
Tell me about yours, and I'll tell you whether I know them or not, you know? And so the person proceeded to, you know, I think do their best to witness. But then what they said, it was really quite offensive, actually. He said, well, I'm very familiar with Jesus, and my dad's a pastor. And they looked at him and said, oh, your type is the hardest to save. And so what I guess I would say is, I don't have a problem with you witnessing, but think about what you're saying. Think about whether it's doing more damage than good. Think about how that would come across. Think about some of those things as you're going about doing it. And do think about think about what may be effective and what what a person in who has no Christian background might experience in the way that you're going about doing it. Those are things to think about. But again, I want to be careful because I think we all have different ministries that we're called to, different ways of sharing the gospel that we've been blessed with. And so I want to be careful about not picking on the way that just doesn't make sense to me because it's just not part of my personality makeup.
Absolutely. The other part I liked was the no trade secrets. I've heard from many people. We get emails here fairly regularly from different people, different places, other countries, other denominations that, hey, I caught your church service online. How many people do you have that make your, you know, like your broadcasts and your stream available every week? Because it looked, you know, looked really good. There's certain aspects we've never thought of before. We'd like to talk to you more about it. And that's always exciting. And to me, that's one of the things that make it easy. Like if you want to ask me how we do stuff here and the, like the techie part of it or just the relational part of it, I could talk to you about that, you know, all day and let you know how to do things. And I had someone email me today, a church member who's thinking about starting a podcast and like, could I have lunch with you? You've been doing this a little while. Could I, you know, pick your brain? I'm like, absolutely. Who doesn't want to do that? But, you know, some people try to keep those together, but I love the fact that we're open and would love to let people find an easier way to be excellent. And then truth and love, you know, they're going to know all of it, whatever you do, whether it's the thing that might be uncomfortable to some or whatever, how you live your life and just showing that love. That was great. And the emails that you got, would you save those up for us? And you just wait till you have, you know, four or five before you break them into a sermon? I'm like,
pretty sure he has more than that.
He probably does. But those are like, there should be a place for those somewhere, because if that doesn't give you the warm and fuzzies about at least, like Ken said, all the stuff we talked about today and the hard questions, do we do it perfect? No. Will we ever do it perfect? No, but we're going to try really hard and we're going to do our best and we're going to learn from our mistakes and all of that to try to be the best. But man, that at least makes you feel like you're getting some in the W column every so often.
Yeah.
That feels
really
good.
Yeah. And thank you to all of you who do send. I receive a lot of really nice emails on a really regular basis. So those were the ones that I knew the people well enough that I knew I could ask for permission. And or I felt like it was the appropriate story to be sharing in church. And so, but yes, we receive a lot of really great, you Whole Lifers, you're the best. Like I just hear so many positive things about what you're doing in this community and the difference you make. And so it was really fun to be able to share a little bit of that. And I want to say a huge thank you to the four different individuals who sent those emails, who said that it was all right. Those were the original. I had four emails that I wanted to use, and I I contacted each one of the people and asked them whether it'd be okay. And all four said yes. And I thought for sure I'd have one or two that would say, oh, I'd really probably rather you didn't just share that, which, and in the email I sent, it says totally okay. If you don't want me to share it, that there is no pressure. If it's not okay. And all four were just so gracious. And several of them were like, oh, please do. I'd really like for people to know how I feel about this. And so just really grateful to those four people who are willing to let me share.
I think everyone would love to receive a few of those emails.
Yeah, those are really great. Basis, so. I have a whole folder in my email that's called Nice Notes.
Nice Notes.
Nice Notes.
So when I get notes that aren't nice, I go to my Nice Notes and I read through them.
What's
the folder name for the not nice notes?
I'm not going to tell you because there is a name for it. But if anybody ever happened upon my email account, I would not want them to know which folder to go to. It is named.
It is subversive.
It is named in a way that wouldn't be the first folder you'd look in.
So not to confirm or deny the abundance or lack thereof of those emails.
You know
what?
I think there's more. I think there's way more emails in the nice notes than there are in the other one.
Excellent. So, of course, that I can't let that go by without saying today was wonderful. We had like six different notes. We had overflow. We had questions. We had comments. And the conversation is always more fun when we're working off of what you want to talk about, not just what we want to talk about. So please do continue to send those in. Next week, it's this week. It's in values.
Values. We're going to talk about it. We're so, all in.
All in.
All in.
I feel like if we had the video ready to go right now, we could all put our hands in the center of like, all in.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to do that when that gets ready.
Maybe we should do that in church on Sabbath.
Turn to the five people around you and get your hands
all in.
All in.
Ooh, that would be good.
Ooh.
Think about that for the welcome.
Okay. Think about it. Yeah. Melanie doesn't look convinced. Well, see, this is why the more we get closer to the video part coming to fruition, the more I'm ready for this because Melanie is going to be the star of this podcast.
We just need
not
to have
she's not
a,
already.
We just need to have a close up tight of her face.
Yeah.
Like
we'll wear masks.
Like everybody else can have like the wide shots, but Melanie needs just to be the.
I know.
Just
I think I'm going to be wearing like the dark sunglasses and like you know those
Yeah, absolutely, Melanie. You go ahead and do that.
Tournaments or something. They wear those like the brim, non-reflective and covered up.
Yeah, you're going to have to. Yeah, you won't be able to without.
I have no without poker face.
Not during podcast.
I'm
not saying I know how to read it. I just know that when things
there's
aren't
a disturbance yeah, in the force.
Yes, exactly.
Reflected on Melanie's face.
It's a complete aura. I mean, I don't even have to be looking. I can just start feeling myself melt a little.
Yeah, maybe we should sit me far away from the camera. We don't want the
camera to melt. It won't melt. It's
actually going to sit right about here because it's two-sided. It's about this big. And it just flicks between whoever's talking. So we don't have to do any editing later other than if we have to do some editing. But
so you're going to have editing to do later then.
So
don't simplify a lot.
Yeah, we're Lucas and I we've got this down. So all we need is the camera and we're ready and we're going to move the few things around in the studio here just to be a little bit more visually pleasing. But we're just about ready. And so we just have to make one more adjustment and then we'll be ready to do this the other way. And then, so then you're going to have new theme music. You got new bumpers. You're going to have video on Friday night. Oh my goodness.
Oh, man, you got to ease me into this stuff. You got to ease me in.
There's other stuff coming up too, but we're not going to tell you about that yet. Cause I'm Melanie. I'm Melanie this week and I'm just, no, we're not giving any more. That's it. It's all you get.
All right.
Hey guys, you know what? We appreciate you so much. Thank you for all of the feedback and the questions and comments. And so we're looking forward to seeing you next episode. So have a great week. Thanks for listening to This Is Whole Life. If today's conversation resonated with you, we invite you to subscribe, share, and leave a review on your favorite listening platform. To join the conversation, send a text or voicemail to 407-965-1607 or email podcast@wholelife.church. To learn more about Whole Life Church, worship with us online or in person, visit our website, wholelife.church. Until next time, this is Whole Life.